time starting two-year-old filly by his stand. Had tongues wagging after taking a maiden special by 5 widening lengths. His stand Ford, bred by Hardacre Farm and trained by Mike Stidham, won at the direct expense of the Kitten's Joy filly Beth Ann's Kitten, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey, and 9 others. His stand is desiring his first crop with the fleet Mr. Bowling, a graded stakes winner of more than $270,000 to date. Antigun, a winner of nearly $480,000 and placed in 4 graded stakes, including the classic Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. He's a sire of Young and Lovely, placed in the New Orleans Ladies Stakes at the Fairgrounds, and Northern Iowa, placed in the Pomona Derby. His stand is a multiple graded stakes winner by Sire of Sires Gone West. The leading sire in North America this year is also by Gone West. Out of a group stakes winner from the family of the Great Mill Reef. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone. And we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand, as usual. And just not a very busy Saturday. Boy, it's a gorgeous day. Dr. Byers is with me today. Is it pretty? You ever see a prettier day than this, Doc?
The whole week off and on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I just bought a load of hay for my winter hay, and it's up, you know, I'm like a squirrel swirling it away. So. If it rains, if we just get a little bit more rain, a couple more free spaces out, right, I won't have to feed that hay until that first year.
Yeah.
That's the way I figure. Because, you know, I don't have that many horses on my little place. And just 5 horses on 22 acres, you know. So, I rotated it around, and it's, you know, it's the scotch is coming out in me, I guess.
Well, we're down to 3 horses for 75 acres. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Michael will take care of you. He'll help you. He'll send you some horses.
Yeah, I think we'll let him stay with his program.
You go dodge that bullet?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is, of course, Dr. Doug Byers here. He's took time out from his practice. Doc, back practicing again. If you need his number, by the way, go to my website. It's UrselEllisHorseTales.com, and his number's in there for you. I don't know if he can work in his schedule now or not, but give him a call, and... And he's out among them again.
Yeah, I was busy yesterday, and so it feels good to just be back in action.
Yeah, so, I bet it does.
Yeah.
I hate to miss a day. You know, I mean, you missed a long time. Would you turn my earphones down just a hair?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Doc gonna blow me out of here. Well, anyway, I'm glad you're back practicing and everything.
Yeah. Well, you feel useful, and you know, I spent all those months sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah. I do that now.
Yeah. Couldn't drive. Couldn't do anything, and then all of a sudden, I'm liberated.
You're liberated.
Liberated. So.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, you had a hard time of it, but you're hitting on, at least 6 now, anyway. I don't know if you're up to an 8-cylinder job yet or not, but you're moving.
I'm doing all right. And, you know, so many of my friends have problems that I've gotten rid of.
Oh, is that right?
So,
you're talking about Michael?
No. We can't get rid of him. Oh, you know, our prayers would be for Pete Pryor, who is having a tough time, and just a number of people, and we're in that age group.
Yeah.
So,
but Doc, I'm ahead of you. What are you talking about? I'm ahead of everybody. My contemporaries, most of them pushing up daisies.
No. Well,
a few of them are still around. Ed Fallon's still around.
Yeah, I got a call, Ed. I've been mean to forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just one of my favorites.
Yeah, mine too.
And, you know, there are so many of the veterinarians that I wish he would emulate,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be. But they're all a different drummer now.
Yeah.
You know.
That's exactly right.
They got to make that money.
Yeah. Well, let's see what we're going to do today. Darren Fox is coming over. Darren is with Windstar Farm.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be here at the top of the hour.
Well, good.
Moved over there. He hadn't been there but three weeks. He was with Darley.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's moved over to Windstar. Another Irishman. I thought I'd interviewed all the Irishmen around in central Kentucky, but turns out somebody up here the other day and says, hell, there's more Irishmen in central Kentucky than there is in Ireland. You know? You'd almost think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of them are really nice guys, you know, and they work hard and they come over here and they contribute.
Well, they all kind of... Most of them center back to Michael Osborne.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, you know, he brought so many over.
Yes, he did.
Because he had that school in Ireland.
Yeah.
And all those youngsters came over here and got a chance to get a job or eventually get their own farm.
Yeah.
And I'd say right now the majority have their own farms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I first talked to him on the phone, he had an accent, you know, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. And he probably got mad at me because I said, are you English? Oh, no, I'm Irish, he said. That's an insult to some of them, you know. Well, anyway, he's going to come by. Seems like a real nice guy. I hadn't met him. Doc is here. Michael Blowen's in New York again. Boy, I'm telling you, he's up and down the road like a yo-yo, isn't he, going to New York and back?
He's a migrant worker.
Is he? Who said he was working? He's a migrant hustler. Anyway, but anyway, we're going to try to get in touch with Steve Moody. They're running three Grade One stakes in New York today. Big day racing, Doc. You can take time off from working and your practice now and sit down and watch the Travers and the Tess and the King's Bishop today.
Yeah.
And that Travers is going to be a good one, isn't it, man? There's some good horses in there. Yeah. I'm sorry. I feel sorry for Mr. Pletcher in there, too. Do you know him? Todd Pletcher. I really feel sorry for him.
Yeah.
God almighty. But, you know, we were commenting the other day, Lucas, you know,
mm-hmm.
when he was really on top, you know, he used to take some criticism from people. I think it was mostly jealousy or what. But, you know, he was good for racing. I mean, he really was. He was very articulate. And,
mm-hmm.
And, but you never hear the jealousy bit against pleasure.
Well, I made a comment to you on radio a month or two ago. Todd, his greatest accolade is his parents.
Is that right?
They raised a good boy.
Yeah.
And it really shows.
Yeah. Well, Lucas, I admire him for... little things that he's done.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I know they were talking about, I was reading some old clone. He was down there this past year. And whenever he'd win a race down there, and he was going down to Winter Circle, if he'd see a family with some kids or something, he'd invite them into the Winter Circle. You know, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good for racing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those kids would never forget that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how you promote racing.
Yeah.
So I'm an admirer. And of course, God, he's won so many races, you know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I was kind of tickled when he won the Preakness, you know.
Well, he kind of stayed around, and that reemerged.
Yeah, that's great. All right, what else we're going to do? I'm going to do a little history. Jackie, by the way, is out giving a tour. I think I told you that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me do a commercial break, and we'll talk to Doc for a while. And I tell you what, Wednesday in Great Britain, the Grade 1 Judmont International went to declaration of war for Yoko. He's another war front. The war front has moved up to 5 on the sire list now. He's got 11 stakes winners. 8 of them are graded stakes winners this year. So this was just this past Wednesday that Group 1, over in Great Britain went to declaration of war by war front. On the 18th of August at Monmouth, the Grade 3 Philip H. Island Stakes was won by Last Gunfighter. That's a nice coach. He's a 4-year-old. He's by Last Samurai, bred and owned by John Gunther. Last Gunfighter has 4 wins and 5 starts this year. He also won the Grade 3 Pimlico Special and the Grade 3 Excelsior in the Evening Attire Stakes. Ran second to Flat Out. Of course, he's by Flatter. In the Grade 2 Suburban for earnings of over $635,000. His latest win follows closely the score of Justin Phillip by First Samurai in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. Now, Justin Phillip has earned over $1,118,000. On the 16th of August at Del Mar, Sirach, 3-0 Philippa Arch ran a mile in 1:33.4 to take the Sandy Blue handicap. Sirach won the Grade 2 Honeymoon handicap earlier this year, and her win in the Sandy Blue comes on the heels of the victory of Palmology, a 3-0 Philippa Arch in the Group 3 Prix Minerve in France. Well, top sires Warfront, First Samurai, and Arch all stand at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com. I want to talk about my friends over to the Clay Ward Agency. Of course, you got the September sales coming up. And with Clay Ward, of course, is very closely related with Indian Creek. One and the same, as a matter of fact. And they've got a real... I've just got my catalogs yesterday, and I've sat down to look at it, and they've got a nice consignment. They're in every book. There's 5 books. And they start in book 1. You'll find those Indian Creek yearlings. And they, listen, the list of high-class stakes winners they've raised out there, 6 champions, is long and impressive, and it just keeps growing and growing. So you might want to give them a call and talk to Shaq Parrish or Nikki Dryan out at Indian Creek. And, go see their yearlings now. If they'll show them to you, they probably will. Here's a number. It's an 859 number, 987-7443. And while you're talking to Shaq, if you run across him, you want to insure your yearlings that you're going to buy. Well, you couldn't do any better than the Clay Ward Agency. They've been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds for over 8 decades. That's a long time, I should know. And but you know, it's they've been doing 8 decades. Mr. James Clay Ward, who founded it, is gone now, but the tradition he started, hard work, service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, it's still there with Shaq and with Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. So it's a great firm, people to do business with. The number over in Paris, Kentucky for the Clay Ward Agency is 859-987-1861. Remember that, 1861. Just think about the Civil War, 1861. You can't forget that number. So that's the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. That's 2 names you should remember if you're in the thoroughbred business. Well, yesterday at Saratoga, the Grade 1 $500,000 Ballerina Stakes was won by Dance to Bristol, a 4-year-old Philip of Spritestown, bred by Mr. and Mrs. David Garner, trained by Ollie Figgins. Don't you love that name, Ollie Figgins? Anyway, Dance to Bristol has won 7 in a row, 5 stakes, and has earned $928,880 now. Career-wise, she started 18 times. She's won 10, was 7 times second, and won 4th, and that was last year. She's dead game, she's consistent, and she's a typical Spritestown. Spritestown is the sire of 12 stakes winners this year. 6 of the 12 have won graded stakes, and 2 have won grade 1 stakes. He's the nation's leading sire this year, with the earners of $7,505,689. Spritestown, champion sprinter, stands at Windstar Farm, home of 4 of the top 25 sires of 2013. Take a good look at the yearlings by the Windstar Stallions at Keeneland. For more information, get in touch with Darren Fox, who's going to be on the top of the show this pretty soon here, Leanna Packard and Chance Tim. 859-873-1717 is the number. The website's windstarfarm.com. clients' horses winning so fast I can't hardly keep up with them. I think I've written my commercial, you know, for this week, and I look down, and there's a grade one stakes winner on Wednesday, and there's a grade for Claven, there's a grade one stakes winner yesterday for Windstar, you know. But this makes my job easy, although they keep me up late night writing those things. Jackie types them for me, you know, so I cannot, Doc, I can't type on a computer. I just can't do it.
I have a tough time now after I had that problem when I was sick. So I
don't have that excuse. I shed crocodile tears when my old Manuel Royal died, you know.
Yeah.
And I've graduated to an IBM electric typewriter. And I tell you what, keeping them serviced is a problem, you know.
Yeah.
And the one I've got now, I've got two. I'm going to have to go all the way to Frankfurt to get them worked on. And the one that isn't broken now is starting to squeak whenever I throw the carriage. It squeaks when it comes back, you know. So I've got to get them fixed. Well, what's up, Doc? Say you just treated something for, what was it you mentioned?
Well, I just looked at a horse yesterday at EPM.
Oh, okay.
Or suspected EPM. Mm-hmm. And the testing is available.
Mm-hmm.
The serum or the spinal fluid, whichever you want to do. But we don't do much of that anymore.
Is that right?
No, because the tests are not foolproof. And you can get false positives, and you can, or the positives can say they've been exposed, but they don't have the disease. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a different arrangement. So I looked at this horse that she had some muscle atrophy. She didn't move that bad. But EPM basically is characterized by no special character, obvious thing. So it kind of has what we call upper motor neuron, which is the spastic part of your muscle activity, and lower motor neuron, which is your dragging gait. So,
Doc, don't it usually affect the rear end more than?
No.
No, okay.
Nope. I tell you, it's all over the place. You
okay.
know, it's all over the place. Now, you can get the rear end showing a little bit more, and there are some other things that can happen that are not EPM that'll paralyze the tail and other things like that and look like EPM, but not shown to be that. This particular horse had a right hip that was atrophied, so the muscling was disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
Walked pretty good, and so there was no obvious ataxia or inability to ambulate, and there was some muscle atrophy of the head on the left side. So you say, well, what's a right croup have to do with a left head? So you say, well, this is what we call a multifocal disease. So it's got more than one spot. It can be one spot, but, you know, multifocal would say, well, what else would distribute like that? So EPM is the most common thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I told this guy that she's getting around fine. She's not falling. She's pretty coordinated. And so the muscle atrophy was really the most obvious problem.
Will they progressively get worse or?
No, you can't predict.
Okay.
And we don't know the incubation period. So if you say, oh, this horse got exposed to EPM, and so he got EPM. Well, they don't do that. So we know that we can sell horses have them go to Europe, and they don't have possums and raccoons those things. So that's the thing to carry it. And the horses could be quiet, no problems with it for a year or more, or a couple. Sometimes it's been 5 years.
Hmm.
A horse has been in Europe and then get EPM. Well, it's been inside the horse's body.
Yeah.
And then they get stressed.
Yeah.
So that's...
scares heck out of them.
Yeah. And then you now have different drugs to treat them with. There's an old drug that went off, what was not available, diclazuril, and now they've commercially put that through the FDA, and so you can treat them with diclazuril, toltrazolil, all these different drugs that are in the same families.
Yeah.
And then the basics would have been Daraprim, which is your anti-malarial drug, and that was one of the original things called Daraprim. And then you mix them with sulfa tablets, and that was the original treatment of choice.
Yeah.
And so I'd say about 70% of them will slowly get better. And it'll take about a month before you can really see it. And then the rest of them either stay the same or get worse. And if they get really bad, then they may lose their ability to chew and or get around. Yeah. And they might be a euthanasia.
Yeah.
But not that many of them. Just you baby them around.
Yeah.
And so, but it's a common disorder. And so the bottom line is if it's asymmetrical and you've got an upper motor neuron, which one leg is spastic, and lower motor neuron, one leg is paralyzed, the horse is asymmetrical, doesn't walk with any synchronous thing. And they just have that as a common entity. Like I say, 70% of them will get better. So you don't give up. This guy yesterday was talking to me, he said, well, I need to put her down. And I said, no, go on with it. See what you got.
Yeah.
So
time will tell.
Time will tell, and you can do things about it. And so pretty common.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good, Doc. All right. Anything else you want to talk about? Or?
Well, I had a note card here. I was going to just mention, because we've mentioned Lyme disease, and it's on the news every day now. You know, and so it's a spirochete, kind of like gonorrhea, and gets into their.
You get it the same way, Doc?
Yeah, they could.
Oh, you could. Well, let me take a break, and then we can get back and talk about that. Well, Close Hatch has defeated Princess of Silmar and the Grade Two Gazelle by widening 3.5 lengths, and then went on to take the classic Grade One Mother Goose Stakes. Close Hatches is from the first crop by First Defense. So is Dundonnell, winner of the Group 3 Acom Stakes, the King Charles II Stakes, second in the Group 2 Champagne Stakes, third in the Group 3 Craven Stakes, and in his only start in this country, fourth of 14 in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. First Defense covered 117 mares in 2013, among them the dams of Close Hatches, of 2014 Grade 1 Stakes winner Emollient, of Grade 1 winner announce, of Grade 1 winner price tag, and many others of superior quality. Already a classic sire, First Defense stands at Judmont Farm, and that's the home also of Mizzen Mast. Sire of 5 Grade 1 stakes winners, including 2 winners of Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup races last fall. For more information, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at Judmont Farm and see the website at judmont.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about Red State Barbecue over on Georgetown Pike. If you get off the bypass and head toward Georgetown, it's just out a couple of miles out there. May not always coming from the other direction, so it's on your. So I don't really know how far it is away from the in from the bypass. Do you know, Doc? You know, it's pretty
not
close.
More than a mile, just about a mile, and that's about
maybe about a mile.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
If you're coming from the other direction, where Ironworks dumps out, and you turn left. And you go up toward town, it's on your left.
Yeah.
It's a couple of miles that way, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a mile and a half.
Yeah. Yeah.
Worth the trip.
Yep. It's, you know, surrounded by that old motel.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That motel's been there since back in the 40s, I know, because I can remember it very, very well. Yeah. And anyway, but it's not connected to it. It's got its own building, but it's. We'll talk about the food. The food's great. You say you were there 4 days ago?
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. I mean, you go about once a week?
About that.
Yeah. It's good.
It's easy to pick up the food, take it home, or eat it right there.
Yeah. And, you know, you can order it, and they'll have it ready for you.
Yeah.
Is that what you do? Or you just go in and have them?
I don't determine anything that Susan doesn't tell me what to do.
Oh, well, they cater too. Oh, and here's a phone number if you want to pick up something to have them ready waiting for you, or if you want to cater, it's of course Lexington number. It's 233-7898. You know, it's award winning barbecue. They've got the 2013 Taste of Bluegrass Award for their brisket slider as the best entree, and it is good. Mm. It is good. And their desserts are to die for, and you can buy beer in there. And I tell you what, it's a great barbecue. So stop by over there and tell them old Ursel sent you, trying to make a living here. And and talk to, you know, to Jen or Shannon or Susie there, maybe David. David owns the place, David Carroll. Nice guy. And anyway, it's the Red State Barbecue. And the prices are right, and the food is great. Let me tell you that.
Go in there now because Michael is out of town.
Yeah, it's safe to go in, Doc says. Michael's out of town. He's in there a lot too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty convenient for you. I mean, you're not too far away.
Yeah, we can just bop down the road and load up.
Yeah, you live on Ironworks. So
Yeah. The old Ironworks. Call it the old Ironworks.
The old Ironworks, yeah.
Yeah, where, over by Yarnelton Road.
Yeah. Once you cross Georgetown on your old line works, it used to up there on the right was Donorail.
Yeah. And then Crimson King.
Well, no, I mean across on the other side, the south side. You cross the road from your place.
Yeah,
you cross Georgetown Pike.
Right.
And Donorail was a little train stop up there at a post office.
Right.
And this was long before you got here. Of course, when they put the interstate in, it went right through Donorail. They left the church. There's a Baptist church sitting there.
Well, that service station that they have there in that little store is really the same old. They could build that because they had this old permit from 30, 40, 50 years ago. And they, so
yeah,
that open land was, they didn't have to get a new permit.
Yeah. Well, you know, the longest shot ever to win the Kentucky Derby was named after Donerail.
Yeah. And if you go in there, I think they still have his win picture and a little blurb about the horse.
Yeah. The rider's from Louisville. Roscoe Goose was from Louisville.
Sure.
That's who rode him. Isn't that a great name? Roscoe Goose. He just died 3 or 4 years ago.
Huh.
You know, not too long ago. You know, lived a long, long life, which is probably unusual for these riders, you know. All right, Doc, you wanted to talk about something besides...
I'm just going to kind of review Lyme disease. I don't think people are excited about it, but they're more convinced that they ought to pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the horse... They get a little stiff in the joints. It can be any age. And the joints get a little puffy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, they get fever, lameness. There are some horses that have a condition called hyperesthesia, which is you run your hand over their neck and it kind of hurts. They're very sensitive to that. And then we have, they can check the titers, take them down to the diagnostic lab if you have a horse that you're suspicious, and they'll run the blood values for the antibodies. And you get to be sure they get what we call convalescent titers. You pull the blood and it's negative, but then the horse is not right. And then you wait 2 weeks and pull blood again, and then they convert so that they actually have a titer. Then say, well, that's what it was all along. It just took them a while to convert.
Mm.
So there are tetracycline and doxycycline are the two antibiotics you would treat the horse with, and most of them get better. Mm. So doxycycline has another property to it. You can give them oral, and it's fairly cheap. And the other property is a enzyme or a chemical reaction called metalloproteases, which cause inflammation. Doxycycline blocks the inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing you can add to it. Or a lot of people treat with tetracycline because it'll slowly get them better too. And but I think that the main thing that's become important, and there's a dog vaccine. We don't have a Lyme disease vaccine in the horse, and but anyway, they have the dog vaccine that you can use in the horse, but we don't do it much.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in this area, we see some Lyme disease, but not a whole lot. If you go to New York, and the Ixodes tick, that comes from the deer tick, the one that carries it. And it in that area, boy, those people are nervous about it.
Do the deer around here carry it too? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah. We've got them.
Yeah, but we don't see it. It's only the one type.
Okay.
And so we don't see it commonly.
Yeah.
But up in New York, it's very common. Okay. So anyway, the horses usually come along, you treat them, and again, you can diagnose it with the titers, and you the stiff joints and a little bit of puffiness are what you're looking for.
Okay.
So
very good.
Okay, so you're all set now. Your horses ain't going to get it.
Okay.
Now, if that Michael comes back from New York and brings us a bunch of ticks.
He brought me a six-pack of beer last time. I'm not going to complain.
He'll get everybody ticked off.
Yeah. Oh. On that note, we're going to let you go.
All right.
Doc, thanks.
Okay.
We're going to see if we can get Mr. Moody on right now. Can we do that?
Yes, sir. Oh, Michael said to call him if you need to.
Okay. All right. I'll dodge that bullet. Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye, Holly.
All right. Well, August 15th at Saratoga, Farhan. Four-year-old colt by Jazzle, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, making his first start in this country. Trained by Kieran McLaughlin. Won a $90,000 allowance race in a game come-from-behind finish. Farhan has posted back-to-back wins and has been beaten a length in listed stakes over in Great Britain. 2 days later at Arlington Park, Najjar, also by Jazzle, ran third, beaten a length in the $400,000 American St. Ledger. And Alsis, the daughter of Invisor, ran third in the Grade 1 $750,000 Beverly D Stakes. Now, Dodger has also placed in the Grade 3 Louisville Handicap in the Arlington Classic for owner-breeder Shadwell Farm. Alsis, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, went into the Grade 1 Beverly D, off a victory in the Grade 3 Modesty Handicap at Arlington after placing in two stakes at the fairgrounds. Grade 1 stakes winner and Grade 1 sire Jazzle and Hall of Famer Invisor. Sire, a graded stakes winner in his first crop. Stan at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. Want to talk about my friend Ralph Quillen's great establishment down in Paris, Kentucky, Quillen Leather and Tack. It's the number one tack shop in Kentucky, probably in the United States. As far as that goes, they ship out over 17,000 halters a year worldwide, incidentally. And stand by over there because I've got three broken halters I got to bring over to you. And I'll talk to Sandy and Debbie over there. If you go in and you're local, by the way, you get a 10% discount. If you're from around here locally, you know, because he likes to do business with local people and give a break. And it's a great tack shop. I mean, they're quality work. You never have to worry about the products. And it's a good, fun place to go in and look around. They even tour stop in there now. And they have a gift shop. And it's a great tack shop. It's right there in Paris. If you're coming in from the Lexington area on the Paris-Lexington Road, you just go. You go to the third stoplight and look on your left, and you can't miss it. It's Quillen Leather and Tack. Great people to do business with. And Ralph is on the cover of the local paper again today. It comes out on Wednesdays. It's a weekly paper. And the Bourbon County Citizen. And Ralph is a big wheel down there. I mean, he's remodeling downtown Paris, it looks like. That's Quillen Leather and Tack. Quillen, Quillin.com. Daily Racing Form Sunday edition's out. And that's Mark and Mary Simon running that now. And they've got some good articles in there. John Sparkman, of course, is writing about Kitten's Joy. Patrick Reed has got an article in there on AP Indy's continuing influence as a sire of stamina, and that's for sure. Steve Anderson is writing about Gary Broad's Oakmont breeding and breaking operation out in California. Glennie Kane Oxford is writing about hoof care on the horse. There's an article in there by Mary Rampolini, catching up with Will Armed and Bill Kastner. And so, of course, and every Sunday, the recent graded stakes pedigrees and race records are right there for you. So that's the Sunday edition, Daily Racing Forms on the newsstands now. I've got mine right here in front of me. And it's a great, great article. So, thank you very much.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, which reputable companies so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
All righty, I have Steve Moody with me now. Steve is with Bloodstock Research Information Services, and he does that Saratoga sheet. He's going to give us the winner of, we'll start with the Travers, I guess. Boy, that's a great race today, but there's three grade ones up there today.
Yeah, it's maybe, it might be one of the best overall cards, Ursel, that I've ever seen. They had 14 races today, 170, that's 170 runners entered, and obviously four graded stakes, three of them grade one, just a tremendous card, and big field. So if you can pick a winner up there today, you're going to get paid.
All right, you got time to do the three grade ones for me? Let's start with the Travers. Boy, that's a great race today. I mean, there's some top horses in there.
It is, Ursel. And of course, the issue here that a lot of people are trying to decide is what to do with Verrazano. I mean, he just absolutely crushed his rivals the last two times he's been out.
Scary, wasn't he?
Yeah, just looked so good. Went in the Haskell. That was his last start. The question is, though, is can he go past 9 furlongs? His only time going 10 furlongs was in the Derby, and of course he stopped in there. Was it the 10 furlongs? Was it the off track? Or was it? Is it just now that he's a little bit more mature that? He'll be able to handle it. It's, you know, it's kind of an open question. You've got obviously the Derby winner Orb. I ran the huge race Derby Day. Didn't really have the same kind of punch in the Preakness and the Belmont. Shug opted to do something he's never done before. And that's train up to the Travers. Took this horse to Fair Hill. They've, had him there for several weeks, and from all reports, he really seemed to thrive there with all the things that they have available. How will Orb come back? Palace Malice has looked extremely good. Obviously won the Belmont, won the Jim Dandy, and then you got a couple other ones in there to look at. The Godolphin horse, Transparent, and I think the 5 horse will take charge. I mean, if you like Palace Malice, I think you have to like Will Take Charge. So to me, Ursel, I thought that the pace of the race is going to be a little stronger than the Jim Dandy was. You got Marino in here. I don't think there's any question he's going right to the front. And with Verrazano in here, he's going to be up close. I think the pace will be a little more strenuous than it was in the Jim Dandy. Will Take Charge, I thought, finished really strongly in that race. Closed really well through the stretch. Only got beat a length behind Palace Malice. I think he'll handle the added ground today. And I'm going to give him a shot to pull the upset here. I took Will Take Charge on top. Palace Malice second, and the Derby winner Orb third. So I'm going 5-8-2 in the 144th Travers.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go with Verrazano. He scared the hell out of me last week. okay. That's I kind of had him tucked away in my mind that you were going to try to beat him, so. But I didn't know you were going to put him out of the money. All right.
It's one of those things where, maybe I've been influenced by Indian Charlie, who's been talking about when Verrazano puts the brakes on at the 2 furlong pole. He's been talking about that. I don't know if you read the sheet any.
No, we don't get it here.
Well, you have to get it online, you know.
Oh, do you? You know me. All right, well, what do you want to do, the King's Bishop or the Tenth next?
Yeah,
we'll
go to that. It's a tremendous race. There's 14 horses in here, 3-year-olds going 7 furlongs, a $500,000 purse. And, of course, the speed in here, without question, is Let Him Shine. That's a 10. It's colt by A Song and a Prayer. Made all the running his last time out, and just wasn't quite able to hold off the closers at the end. He's going right to the front again, but I think he's going to have a little bit of company. I don't think they're going to let him just completely get away from them today. 40 Tails, of course, is taking advantage of the fast early pace that he's had in the recent races, and been able to mow down the front runners with his big stretch run. The sort of knock I have on him is that obviously he's a 5-2 favorite in a 14-horse field, which is a concern. And then it's one thing when you come from dead last in a 7-horse field. It's a whole nother game when you're coming from dead last in a 14 horse field. And, there's just no way I could take 5-2 on a horse that, like that. So I kept looking for something that could be, not on the lead, but, close enough that maybe he could inherit the lead at the right time. And then, the wire'd come up in time to save him from all the cavalry charge coming behind him. And I landed on the bottom horse in here, Ursel, no distinction. I know he ran second last time in a grass race, but he's back on the dirt today. He's won his last three dirt starts. He was an easy winner in his most recent dirt start. And I think he's got the right running style here to be dangerous. I think he's going to be not way back. He'll be probably maybe third, fourth, fifth in the early stages, and I think he'll have the first run at the leaders, and he'll definitely have the jump on 40 Tails. There's no question about that, and so I'm hoping that he can just inherit the lead at just the right time, and 15-1, he's definitely worth a play for me. I did take 40 Tails second, and the 5-horse Majestic Hussar. This horse, another one, has speed, but has shown it doesn't have to be on the lead every step in order to run well. So we're going 14-2-5 in King's Bishop.
14-2-5, boy, you're really out there today. You're gamer and Dick Tracy. Well, how about the, let's see, where's the test? Which race is it?
The test, that's the ninth race.
Okay.
This 7 furlongs for the 3-year-old fillies.
Give me some chalk, will you?
we're going to go to the chalky here. I think this is a 2-horse race, so this is between the 5-horse, Sweet Lulu, the Hollendorfer, filly coming in from the West Coast, where she's run 3 starts on the synthetic, and then the 8-horse, My Happy Face. The interesting thing about this race, Ursel, is that it's a 7-furlong race, but hardly anybody in the field has done anything at 7 furlongs. And, you know, it's kind of a tricky distance. You got horses that have run 6 or 6.5, and you've got a couple in here that are going long, but there's not really any real specialty at 7. I like My Happy Face. She's coming off those longer races. She's been effective anywhere from 5 furlongs to 9 furlongs. So 7 ought to hits her right between the eyes. She's turning back off those routes, and I think that she's a good fit. You know, she's never been worse than second in all seven of her starts. She broke her maiden at Saratoga last summer. I think she won like 20 lengths in that race last summer. So there's no question she likes the track. And I'm going to, even though, of course, the other big news, Ursel, today is that with Joel Rosario broke his foot yesterday.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's going to be out 6 weeks, so he's off all his mounts today.
Who picked up the mount?
Mike Smith picked up the mount on my happy face. And so it's going to be, you know, I don't see any problem with that. And I'm going to take the horse that prefers the dirt over the synthetic. So I'm going to go my happy face, the 8-5, third choice in here. We're going to go with the 3 horse, So Many Ways. For Tom Amos, so 8-5 and 3 in the test stakes.
Golly gee, you picking me out of the money again. I like the 6 horse, the Lighthouse Bay. But
yeah, well, I was kind of in between him and her and Amos's horse there for my third choice. So
yeah, okay,
it's kind of a coin flip.
All right. Well, it's going to be a fun afternoon. I can go home, and sit my butt down in front of the TV, I guess.
Yeah, well, they'll be starting. They start early today. They start at 11:35. So,
well, I got to do some mowing early. They'll have to do it. Okay, Steve, that's wonderful. This is Steve Moody with the BRIS, Bloodstock Research Information Services, and you can pick up that sheet, the Saratoga sheet, off their net, brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. You can get it there, and I think they probably sell it around town here also, wherever they sell a daily racing form. Steve, I'll be interested to see how you do today, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ursula.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. We're sitting at the bar. 3-0 filly from the first crop by In the Mischief posted her 6th career stakes win last Saturday by taking Louisiana Cup filly and mare sprint at Louisiana Downs. That's my guest coming there. She has also placed in graded stakes and has earned over $418,000. She's won a 5 stakes winners from the first crop by In the Mischief, a list which includes Golden Sense, a grade 1 stakes winner of $1,340,000, Vijack, a multiple graded stakes winner of $552,000, a Holiday Mischief, a recent stakes winner, won the $100,000 Super Derby Prelude Stakes, got dead aim on a Super Derby. Keep an eye on Ken the Man, a 2-year-old colt by In the Mischief that won his first start on August 17th at Del Mar. Ken the Man was designated a rising star by Thoroughbred Daily News, much like his predecessor, grade 1 winner Golden Sense. A leading second crop sire by Harlan's Holiday and a top 10 sire again this year, In the Mischief was a share of the upside spendthrift offering, and the same share of the upside program is now available to the beautifully bred stakes winner Awesome Patriot. By Awesome again, out of a full sister to Hall of Famer Tis Now. Awesome Patron is a full brother to the Preakness Stakes winner Oxbow. Great pedigree. For more information, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Mark Toothacker, 859-294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. I've been joined by my guest. I'm going to get to you in just a second there. How you doing, Darren? I had to write your new commercial last night. Faxed it to you, but here it is anyway. It's too late to change it up. Well, I want to talk a little bit about Reborn. It's a whole bovine colostrum, of course. You should start using it with foals, but they use it. It builds up the immune system on horses, and it's a great product. Let me give you a number where you can get in touch with them, talk about it. It's 800 number, 901-8498. What it does, it boosts the immune systems. And like I say, it's a whole bovine colostrum. So you really should start using it with your foals. But shoot, they use it with racehorses. Wise Dan, horse of the year. And maybe he's 4-for-4 again this year. He may be the horse in the year again. And he uses it, and it's a great product, and it's put together by Dr. Steve Allday, and he also, incidentally, does Lubricin, which a lot of the top trainers, Todd Plesher uses that. So does Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Michael Maker, just to name a few of them. And it's also available for people if you got some aches and pains. My wife uses it. I think it's too late for me, I think. About a decade too late. So I'm going to live with my aches and pains, but it's another product Dr. Steve Alday came up with. So it's 100% sterile, whole concentrated, and, you know, it's they're test-free. I mean, you don't have to worry about getting hung up in the spit box. You can buy Lubricin, both for people and for horses, at KBC over in Versailles, Horse Sense. No, KBC's here in Lexington, Horse Sense in Versailles. And Reborn, you can get it at the same place for both. Two great products. Well, Commander, a five-year-old son of Broken Vow, posted his third straight stakes win and ninth career stakes win in the Western Handicap out in Canada, up in Canada, I should say. That was last Saturday. Commander's a graded stakes winner of over 428,000. He's one of a dozen 2013 stakes horses by Broken Vow. Leading son of Sire Sire's Unbridled Stud and ranked just above another son of Unbridled, Empire Maker, on the 2013 Sire list. Broken Vow stands at Pinoak Stud with the Stallions Cowboy Cal and Sky Classic. Sky Classic sire 59 stakes winners and over 100 stakes horses, had another good one in Boarding Pass on August 16th, won a $52,000 allowance race at Monmouth Park. Boarding Pass, third in his first start, has now won two in a row. Cowboy Cal's a multiple graded stakes winner, a millionaire. He is by champion sire Giants Causeway, the nation's leading sire of graded stakes winners this year with 10. More information about the Pinoak Stallions, call Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All righty. My guest is here. That's Darren Fox from over at Windstar. We're going to have him on in just a very few minutes. Winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show, the horses trained out here have won 12 races. Had three last night, incidentally, three different tracks. But the trainers of these winners were Jimmy Cargan. You know Jimmy? Do you?
Yeah.
All you Irishmen know each other.
Sure do.
Yeah. He trains out here. You know, Jimmy does a good job.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, he does. Jerry Assinger, that's... Warhorse Place, Jerry. Jerry's a nice guy. Matt Frazier, saddled winner. I think it was a quarter horse. Lucky me. I believe that was one of his core horses. Quarter horse, because he's one of the leading quarter horse trainers in the country, based right here. Won a $75,000 stake up in Hoosier just on the 10th, anyway. Jesse Caudle, saddled a winner at Mountaineer. So did Brian Michael. Eduardo Caramori also had a winner. That was on the 19th. Emilio Garcia saddled a winner at Indiana Downs, and his son Paul Garcia, naturally it would be the same last name I assume, saddled a winner up at Beulah Park at River Downs meeting up there. Scooter Hughes, Byron G. Hughes, had a winner at Indiana Downs, and last night we had three winners. Well, one of them won during the night. It was at Ellis Park. Otto Draper saddled a two-year-old winner named Brand New Star down at Ellis Park. He used to gallop Genuine Risk, as a matter of fact. Otto did, so he'd been around a little while. Wayne Mogie had a winner at Indiana Downs, and last night Tim Shue, who trains for Art Preston, had a winner at Mountaineer. Tim is batting along at about almost a 30% win margin, so he's doing really good. And for the month so far, we have had 33 winners from the Thoroughbred Center. Well, in racing last weekend, the Classic Grade 1 Alabama Stakes was won by Princess of Silmar, 3-0 filly by Majestic Warrior. The Group 1 Prix Morny in France went to No Nay Never, a 2-year-old colt by Scat Daddy. Carolyn Cashman, a 3-year-old filly by Giants Causeway, won the Grade 2 Woodford Reserve Lake Placid Stakes at Saratoga. Arlington Park, the two stakes, went to I.O. Ireland, another three-year-old daughter of Giants Causeway. Now, many believe that Princess of Silmar, winner of this year of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and the Grade 1 Coaching Club American Oaks, plus two other stakes in New York, has already earned the Eclipse Award as a champion three-year-old filly. Well, that remains to be seen, but she certainly got the jump on everything. Majestic Warrior, the nation's leading second crop sire, graded 2013 stakes winners with six. Scad Daddy is the nation's leading third crop sire, the 2013 graded stakes winners with five. And Giant's Causeway is the nation's leading sire of 2013 graded stakes winners with 10. They stand at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. For more about the stallions at Ashford Stud, call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXC Lexington,
ESPN Sports Radio 1300,
Central Kentucky's only Toyota Express Maintenance Center.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price they'll cost.
August 18th at Arlington, Izstan Ford, the first time starting two-year-old filly by Izstan at Tung's Wagon after taking a maiden special by five widening lengths. Izstan Ford, bred by Heartacre Farm, trained by Mike Stidham, won at the direct expense of the Kitten's Joy filly Beth Ann's Kitten, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey, plus nine others. Izstan is the sire in his first crop of the Fleet Mr. Bowling, a graded stakes winner of more than 270,000. Atty Gunn, winner of nearly 480,000, placed in four graded stakes, including the grade one Belmont Stakes. He's also the sire of Young and Lovely, placed in the New Orleans Ladies Stakes at the Fairgrounds, and Northern Iowa, placed in the Pomona Derby. Izstan is a multiple graded stakes winner by Sire of Sires Gone West, leading sire in North America. This year also is by Gone West. That would be Sprightstown. Out of a group stakes winner from the family of the great Miss Mill Reap. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right. I have Fred on his new job from over at Windstar Farm, Darren Fox. And get a little closer to that microphone, Darren.
Sure thing.
You'll detect an Irish accent. I'm surprised he's speaking to me because the first time I talked to him, I think I listened to that accent on the phone. I couldn't quite put my finger on it. I said, "You from England?" I think he took exception to that.
Nah, no, not so. Close enough.
I know some of them around here would. And do you know Jeff McKay, by the way?
Yes, I think I know Jeff, yeah.
Yeah, well, he trains out here also.
Yeah.
And, of course, his parents were from Ireland, and he's raised in Ireland. But he just happened to be, his mother was in Australia for a little while, less than a year, and he was foaled in Australia. And so the guys out here call him Sydney. And he was fussing one day, telling me all about it. And Jimmy Cargan says, "Nah, nah, nah, nah." Says, "You're folding Ohio, you're an Ohio bred." well, Darren, you've been over at Dolly for a while.
Yeah, been over at Windstar 2 months now, but the previous 4 years I spent over at Johnabel.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's Dolly.
Yeah, exactly. Dolly, yeah. Johnabel. Yeah.
You know, I don't know about the only person I know over now. Is I know Jimmy. I've known him since many, many moons. And Michael Berry.
Michael Banahan?
Banahan, yeah. Michael Banahan. Yeah.
And, of course, Charlie Bowden, head of sales, and Kate Galvin.
I believe I've met Charlie.
Yes. You would, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know many people over there, too. I knew John Bell real well.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a great guy, incidentally. Sure. It was a great family as far as that goes. Yeah,
of course.
I imagine it was kind of a hard place to leave.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, I was very excited about the new challenge and the new opportunity and, you know, so definitely looking forward.
Yeah, the stands, the roster over there is unbelievable. You know, doing your all, writing your all commercials. I mean, like I had to write one last night.
Yeah.
I faxed it to you. I'm sure you weren't there this morning, but there's a fax there for you.
Okay, great. I look for it.
Was it okay, by the way?
Yeah, it was great. Great.
Okay.
Yeah. Job well done.
Yeah, well, I like to come up with the show people that I'm on the ball.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Anyway, but they're nice people over there. And you are from Ireland.
I'm indeed, yeah.
Yeah, was your family in the horse business over there?
Yeah, I grew up on a small cattle farm in the west of Ireland, but we always had horses. Always had maybe two or three broodmares, you know, and we'd breed them to $5,000 stallions and sell our weanling crop each November, and that was basically how
I got it. Where are the sales over there, Nana?
The main one is Goffs in Kildare.
Okay.
That's pretty much the main thoroughbred sale in Ireland. So that's where, you know, that's where we would have gone.
How far away was your place from Coolmore then?
I'm from the Midwest, kind of as a point of reference, maybe an hour east of Galway. So Coolmore would have been a bit of a hike down to Tipperary. So that'll probably be 2 hours-ish, I would imagine, down there. So we're kind of tucked away in the Midwest, not really prime horse country, but, you know, it's scenic nonetheless.
Did your dad train?
No, purely a farmer.
Okay.
Purely a farmer, just with an interest in horses. So
yeah. How many mares did you have?
Like I said, maybe, you know, 3 or 4 at any one time.
Yeah.
But, you know, very, very much a hobby as opposed to a profit-making operation. But that's where the love and interest came from.
Yeah. Did you ride?
I rode for a couple of years. Yeah, it definitely wouldn't be one of my strong points. But I can, but it's not something I...
Did you fox hunt over there?
No, I did not. I did not hunt in Ireland.
Well, you went to the sensible life.
I don't know about that. But yeah, the west of Ireland where I'm from, there are some hunts nearby, but it wouldn't have been something I was involved in growing up.
Now, were these thoroughbreds that you all were breeding?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, thoroughbreds, yeah.
And for the flat or for the
flat?
Jump?
Yeah, for the flat.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people that would breed in Ireland breed for the jumps.
Yeah.
It is probably more popular, you could argue. But no, I was definitely interested always in the flat.
Now, were there many stud farms around where you lived there? I mean, where did you go to breed?
We used to go to Ballyhane Stud in County Carlow.
Who were you breeding to over there?
So down there at the time, you know, Captain Rio, who's been a stalwart, one of the first sons of Pivotal that went to stud in Europe. He's done very well. You know, back in the day, the likes of General Monash, who was a three parts brother to King of Kings. Who else would we have bred to? Woodborough, son of Woodman, who recently passed away. And at the moment, of course, Ballyhane has the leading freshman sire in Europe with Dandyman, a son of Mozart. So he's off to a flyer. So, you know, so definitely... Mm-hmm. You know, the type of profile of stallion they have would be, you know, speedier stallions who can get you 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
But that would be the general profile of stallion that they have.
Yeah. Is your family still operating over there?
Yeah. We don't breed any thoroughbreds anymore. My dad still has a couple of, you know, horses for you know, pleasure horses. But again, mainly focuses on the cattle, which has always been, you know, the prime business.
You say you didn't fox hunt. Were there many fox hunts going around in your area?
Not too close to me. You know, for whatever reason, it isn't. Yeah. You would have had to go a lot more west from where I was.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really, you know, close to hand.
My wife used to be into it, and she had a couple of films of the fox hunts over there.
Yeah, yeah.
Damnedest thing. I never saw so many Irishmen fall in ditches in my life.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's not. It's definitely not for the faint-hearted anyway, that's for sure.
No, it's not. So, did you go to school?
Obviously high school and college in Ireland, went to the University of Limerick, studied equine science there.
Okay.
So it was kind of... You know, definitely following the equine path from an early age. As part of that course, I did 9 months over here working out in Paris back in 2000. So
who?
Worked for Jim Fitzgerald, not Griffin Farm.
Of course, I know Jim very well.
Great guy.
Yeah.
So spent 9 months out there when I was 19 years old and fell in love with Kentucky, fell in love with everything over here, and Hence why I eventually found my way back.
So Jim's the one that brought you over, or did he know your family, or did you?
No, it was actually through a contact at another stud that I worked at. I worked at Rathbarry Stud the year before, and the farm manager there at the time, Pat Connell, he knew Jim Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And it was just basically, that was the connection, and that's how I came over.
Yeah, Roxbury Stud, you say?
Rathbarry.
Rathbarry.
Yeah, that's where Barathea stood. He won the Breeders' Cup Mile over here.
Yeah.
He spent his career down there.
Yeah. What'd you do over there?
I was 18. I was just prepping yearlings for the summer.
Yeah.
So
that's how you start.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was great. A lovely scenic part of Cork. So it was a great summer.
Yeah. Okay. That. How old were you then?
I was about 18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how old were you when you came over here?
19.
Yeah. Yeah, and you stayed. Did you have to go back, or did you
stay? No, I did. I had to go back to finish my final year. But like I said, there was about 15 of us that came over from Limerick that year, and then that summer, about 20 vet students from UCD, a university college Dublin in Ireland, came over. So it was just a great summer, you know. Yeah. Met a lot of friends. And
now, were you the courses you were taking? Mm-hmm. This was part of your schooling,
exactly.
Yeah,
this was just an 8 month.
This wasn't like the Darley course.
Okay. I did that later on. But this,
oh, did you now?
I did indeed. Yeah, but this was just an 8 month work experience that every course in Limerick, encouraged and actually actively sought out for you. So when you finished college, you had 9 months or eight mm-hmm. months relevant work experience in your field, which definitely gave you an edge when it came to trying to get that all important first job out of college.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now, Jim, of course. Does it all. I mean, boards and everything. Yeah. But he sells a lot of horses.
Sure does.
So you were used to working the sales at Keeneland.
Exactly, exactly. I think the year I was there, that was the first year of the Fitzgerald QO agency, and they sold $1 million APND filly out of a mare called Carolina.
Uh-huh.
She actually sold to Moigler at the time. So, they definitely, I think they were top five or six leading consigner that year at September sales. So, it was a busy year, but it was great.
Yeah. Now they split up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of went their different directions.
Yeah. But
they had a different idea how to do it. And I guess they split up 7 or 8 years ago, didn't they?
I wasn't here at the time, so I don't know offhand. Yeah, yeah. But about that.
I would think that's about right. Mm-hmm. Jim's is. Yeah. Let me take a break here. I get to talking, I forget I got pay the bills. Let me see what I've got to do here. Okay, Wednesday in Great Britain. Is this the right one? Yeah. The Grade 1 Judmont International went to declaration of war for Yokopa Warfront. Warfront ranks fifth on the sire list now. He's got 11 stakes winners this year, 8 of them graded. August 18th at Monmouth. The Grade 3 Phillips H. Island Stakes was won by Last Gunfighter for Yokopa Last Samurai, bred known by John Gunther. Last Gunfighter has 4 wins and 5 starts this year. He's also won the Grade 3 Pimlico Special, Grade 3 Excelsior, and the Evening Attire Stakes. Finished second to Flat Out, Flat Out's by Flatter, in the Grade 2 Suburban for earnings of over $635,000. Latest win follows closely the score of Justin Phillip, a first samurai, in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga. Justin Phillip has earned over $1,118,000. August 16th at Del Mar, Ciroc, a 3-0 Philippa Arch, ran a mile 133 and 4, and won the Sandy Blue Handicap. Ciroc won the Grade 2 Honeymoon earlier this year, and her win in the Sandy Blue comes on the heels of the victory of Pomology, a 3-0 Philippa Arch, in the Group 3 Prix Minerve in France. Top sires, Warfront, First Samurai, and Arch are at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website, claibornefarm.com. LexHorseFarms.com, that's the website of Hill and Reagan Parker. They've been in the real estate business for about a dozen years. I've known Hill for longer than that. Trained horses out here. He was an A-level pony clubber, which means he's a pretty darn good horseman, I tell you that. Best thing about doing business with them, with Hill and Reagan, is they are real horse people, and if you're selling your farm, they know what horse people are looking for, and they can sell it for you. They got a great website at LexHorseFarms.com. They've got listings now in Fayette, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County, variety of locations, sizes, prices. And they're great people to do business with. You couldn't find anybody to do work harder for you than Hill and Reagan Parker. The phone number is 859-608-8039, 608-8039. That's a Lexington number. They live in Lexington. Go to that website. It's LexHorseFarms.com. They've got a couple of places right up here on the Paris Pike, Paris Lexington Pike, that are for sale right now. Well, no biz like Showbiz is the sire of a New York Stakes winner in his first crop. Two of the others have placed in stakes. In fact, he's the sire of 22 first crop winners, plus 10 others that have placed. And are just sitting on wins. No Biz Like Showbiz is siring sound, hard-hitting runners that can put you in the winner's circle. No Biz Like Showbiz himself broke his maiden as a 2-year-old at Belmont by 10 3/4 lengths. Then he started in 12 consecutive graded stakes. He won 6 of them, including the Grade 1 Wood. Earned over $1,544,000. He stands at Crestwood Farm. If you're looking for a runner, check the Crestwood Farm yearlings at the upcoming sales. Go to Book 1, and you'll find yearlings in there consigned by Pope McLeod at Crestwood Farm. They've raised more than 230 black type horses at Crestwood, including three fillies that went on to earn more than $2 million each. $2 million each. They raise them the right way at Crestwood. To learn more about Crestwood Farm, get in touch with Pope McLean, or Pope McLean Jr., 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. I'm talking to Darren Fox of Nova Windstar Farm now. Left him out at Jim Fitzgerald's here just a second ago. Have you been to see Jim's new farm?
I sure have, yeah. Out in Cynthiana Road, yeah. It's fantastic, yeah.
Yeah. He sold the place. He got the place sold over on 460.
That's right, Jeff. That's right.
Yeah. Do you know who bought that? I never knew they'd find out.
Yeah, I can't think offhand. I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah. You know, he's done that with several farms. He probably made as much business in real estate as he has in horse business, much money.
I bet.
Yeah, smart guy.
Sure. Great horseman.
Yeah. And what happened after you left Jim now?
Went back, finished my final year in college, and then I went on to do a postgrad in business at Limerick also, and then I just branched off working, worked for GE for a year. Kind of went the business route and then realized the error of my ways and wanted to come back to the horse business. So I worked for Tote Ireland in their call center. It's a betting company in Ireland. And then following on from that, I worked for their marketing department also. Mm-hmm. So I spent about 3 years with Tote.
With Tote
in Ireland.
What,
yeah.
What did you do with them? Were you a bookie?
Well, pretty much. Yeah. I looked after a call center, which took bets on all racing in Ireland and England, and phone in bets, basically. Pretty much. So, and then after that, I was in their marketing department. So, on course marketing, off course marketing, just basically pushing the product. So it was very interesting.
Yeah, I bet it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
got to watch a lot of racing, which was.
Now, did you go with one of those like the Kimi or?
No, I went through the Darley Flying Start after that.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm finished up in 2009.
That's a great program, isn't it?
It sure is. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
That's how you got on a Darley, I assume.
Exactly, yeah. I a job came up at John Abell afterwards, and I grabbed it with both hands.
Yeah. Wow. Is it like the Kimi program in that they bring him out here to learn about the training center and everything, and there's three guys and 17 girls.
Actually, our year was weighted the other way, 10 guys and 2 girls.
Oh, you're in the wrong program.
But it's usually about 50-50 for average, I would say.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, the Kimi program, of course, Garrett O'Rourke started that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's
great.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, great.
For sure.
He is a great guy.
Yeah,
I'm very fond of it.
Yeah.
Married the best looking vet in Kentucky.
Yeah, Dr. Rathgeber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long did that program last?
2 years.
Yeah.
So 2 years over 5 countries. So it was, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Start out in Ireland. Then we went to England, spent, of course, 7 months here in Kentucky. Then 5 months in Australia, 3 months in Dubai for the racing carnival. And then we finished up back in Ireland and England. So
yeah.
it was a pretty full on 2 years.
I bet you.
But it was great.
Oh, I bet it was fun.
Yeah, no, yeah. It was, exactly. And,
obviously, you were single all this time.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. And
what do you mean, the most part?
We won't get into that.
Okay.
But I met my wife back here straight after the course in 2009.
Yeah. Is she from Ireland? Or?
No, she's from Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she's a vet.
Where'd you meet
here.
Her? Oh, yes, you told me she was a vet.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. I actually met her at a mutual friend's 4th of July party while I was here in 2008, and then bumped into her again when I moved back here. Mm-hmm. And as they say, the rest is history.
She does acupuncture.
That's correct.
That's her specialty.
That is correct, yeah.
Does she ever work on you?
Once.
Maybe we better change the subject.
No. It was fine. It was actually my lower back was sore from playing soccer or whatever sport I was doing at the time. And she did the electroacupuncture where, hooks you up to a current. It was pretty phenomenal. Now, if I wasn't a believer before, I was definitely a believer after.
I've had it done. It worked. Yeah,
it is good.
I had a good friend had a tennis elbow and took care of it.
Yeah, it's good. All right.
Yeah. How long have you been married now?
Coming up on a year.
Coming up on a year.
Yeah.
That's two practices around here.
Yeah, she does indeed. Between here and Wellington in Florida in the winter.
Oh, okay.
She follows the horse show circuit, so she...
Yeah. That's where the acupuncture school is in Florida, isn't it? Is that where she learned it?
She did. She went to the one in Florida. I can't remember what city in Florida. But yeah, that's where... you're right. That's the school she went to learn it. So okay. It is in Florida. I can't remember where, though.
Well, you got to deal with some really nice studs over there,
sure
darling.
Sure did.
Yeah. Who was your favorite?
When I was over there, I definitely had a soft spot for a Discreet Cat.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's hard not to be impressed with their upper end of the roster, you know, Medaglia d'Oro, Street Cry, Bernardini, you know. So there was definitely some nice stallions over there, no question.
Yeah. Holy Bull was still alive when you were there.
Yeah, he's still there. He was still there when I was there. So
is he still there?
Yep.
I didn't know. I thought maybe he would...
He was pensioned last year, I believe.
No, that's why. Yeah. I thought I'd read something like that.
Yeah,
that's great racehorse.
Oh, no question. Horse of the year. Yeah.
What was his temperament like?
Really good. Really good. He was a gentleman.
Is that right?
Yeah. For sure.
Not all.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your favorite over? Maybe I shouldn't ask. Over at Windstar.
Gosh, there's so many to choose from. You know. Definitely Spitestown, you know, a huge fan of him.
Well, you're looking at the top of the sire list now.
Yeah, well, hey, I've got
expensive taste. Is his temperament
good? Oh, he is. Yeah. He's very good. For the most part, you know, they're all very, very placid, stallions. When you walk into the stallion barn, it's eerily quiet. You know, there's not a peep out of any of them. So, you know, they're all very well behaved.
Yeah. He's a good-looking horse.
He sure is.
Is he built more like a sprinter type?
Definitely.
Yeah, but they run.
Big hip on him. Yeah, they run like, Colts, fillies, dirt, turf, short, long. It doesn't matter. He gets them overall, so. Yeah.
Now, you picked up some studs that were over at Vinery.
Yes, that's
more
great.
Than ready.
Not more than ready. Congrats. Pioneer of the Nile. Street Hero came over. Pure Prize. Maimonides. Kodiak Cowboy. So. A whole slew of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He just had a two-year winner, Kodiak Cowboy.
Yes, that's right. He has four winners now on the board, so he's doing great.
Yeah. So Pioneer of the Nile is starting out, real good.
For sure, yeah. He is.
Boy, they sold good.
Five. Oh, yeah. No, they sold lights out. He was the second leading sire by yearling average, and he was the leading sire by two-year-old average, so... they definitely showed their prowess at on the track at the 2-year-old sales, and he's definitely carried that momentum onto the racetrack, which is great. Five winners, including three pretty impressive maiden special winners in New York, which is arguably the toughest racing in the country. So they're doing it on the right course anyway.
Yeah, and Dan Hurdy is my empire maker.
No, exactly. So he's definitely benefited from the success of his sire. So he's
I'll never understand, and I think Garrett was very disappointed when they sold him. But
how many times do you see it? Where as soon as a stallion relocates, his stock goes up.
Well, he was doing
up,
well so. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I was writing commercial for him, and it was easy to write him.
Right.
And I follow those horses like I follow yours horses.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm constantly looking.
Yeah.
And you all make it easy for me, though.
We try.
Yeah. We'll keep it up. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let you go.
Great.
I appreciate you stopping by here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me on. It's been great.
Well, it's fun talking to you, and we'll be in touch, of course.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
And I'm going to come over there one day and really look at those stud horses.
Please do. Give me a call anytime.
Tis Now is... probably my favorite.
Yes, I can understand that.
Because the sire line.
Yeah,
I love, goes back to Man of War, and he was, in my idea, the greatest of all time. Matter of fact, let's see. That bottom picture?
Yeah.
Right there, that's Man of War. It's a three-row working out at Saratoga.
Wow, powerful.
Yeah, he had a 29-foot stride.
Unbelievable.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
But anyway, I won't bore you with that.
No. Love hearing horse stories. So.
Well, my dad put the first halter on that horse.
Really?
Yeah, so
really?
You're talking to a biased viewpoint right there. And
that's
I saw him many, many, many times.
Wow.
where I was raised out on Dixiana out there was farm was my dad was manager there, and the man of war as a crow flies, he wasn't two miles away.
Really?
Yeah. But I used to ride my bike around.
Good memories, I'm sure.
Great memories.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was impressive. Oh, he was impressive. Of course, I didn't get to see him until he was old.
Right.
But first funeral I ever went to was Man of War's. As a man.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. There'll be more people there than will be at mine, I'll tell you that. All right, I'm talking to Darren Fox. Thank you, Darren.
Thanks, Arsene.
Appreciate you coming by. Give my regards to your bride. Bring her by sometime so I can meet her.
Sure will. Sure will. Thank you very much.
All righty. Well, Close Hatches defeated Princess of Silmar in the Grade 2 Gazelle by widening 3 1/4 lengths, then went on to take the classic Grade 1 Mother Goose Stakes. Close Hatches is from the first crop by First Defense. So is Dundonnell, winner of the Group 3 Acom Stakes, the King Charles II Stakes, second in the Group 2 Champagne, third in the Group 3 Craven, and in his only start in this country, fourth of 14 in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. First Defense covered 117 mares in 2013, among them the dams of Close Hatches. The dam of the 2014 Grade 1 Stakes winner Emollient, a Grade 1 Stakes winner Amount announced. Also, Grade 1 winner Price Tag was bred to him. Many others of superior quality. Aurea Classic Sire, First Defense, stands at Judmon Farm, home also of Mizzen Mass, sire of 5 Grade 1 Stakes winners, including 2 winners of Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup races last fall. For more info, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at Judmont Farm. See the website, judmont.com. Excuse me, had a tickle. Bloodstock Research Information Services. American Produce Records. If you don't have it, well, your library is woefully coming up short. More than 3 million foals are listed in there out of a million mares. And you can trace the pedigrees on these foals, any registered foal, back for more than a century. That should be far enough back for anybody. Also included are European produce records and race records, of course, public auction prices. They update this daily, so it's right up to date. Unlimited access. You can go to the web, to the tablet farm, mobile. It's a great product. It's American produce records. $275 a year, and even I can afford that. American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services, and their website is brisnet.com. Call up and order it. Well, in racing last weekend, the Grade 3 Philip H. Island Stakes was won by Last Gunfighter, bred and owned by John T. Gunther. The Sandy Blue Handicap at Del Mar was won by Surratt, bred by Wertheim and Freer, raised over at Haggard Farm. Second Street City, winner of the Horse to Her Flag Stakes, was bred by Stone Street Steadings. Last Gunfighter, Srock, Stone Street City. The winners of 3 more stakes raised on products from McCauley Brothers. The first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Breeders' Cup winners, Classic winners, Eclipse champions, Southern Award winners. The list of runners raised on McCauley products grows with leaps and bounds. And the folks at McCauley's are justifiably proud of that fact. Give Mike Warren and David Longmire a call. Number over there, 859-873-3333. Ask them about the McCauley products and the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. The office, 111 Broadway in Versailles, you're always welcome. McCauley Brothers, where it is all about the horse. All righty. Well, let me see. Let me take care of my good friends over at Thoroughbred Racing, the TRA, and Toba, of course, and give you the names of the breeders of stakes winners in the last week. Kentucky Breds, of course. And we'll start out August the 23rd. That was yesterday, in the Grade 1 Ballerina. At Saratoga, went to Dance to Bristle. She's by Sprightstown. She was bred by Mr. and Mrs. David Garner. Sprightstown, of course, at Windstar Farm. Wednesday at York, the Grade 1 Judmont International went to Declaration of War. He's by Warfront, 4-year-old colt, bred by Joseph Allen. Warfront to Claiborne, and this horse was foaled at Claiborne, Declaration of War, because that's where Mr. Allen keeps his horses. The Sword Dancer Invitational Big Blue Kitten by Kev. Big Kitten's one of Ken and Sarah Ramsey's Kitten Joys. Boy, they had a weekend. You got to love the guy. Nobody gets a bigger kick out of winning than Ken Ramsey. And I tell you what, he marches to his own drummer, and he's doing extremely well. I tell you what, three grade one wins in one day, I don't think that's ever been done in history. So congratulations, Ken and Sarah, and more power to you. The Governor's Cup Stakes at Remington went to Prayer for Relief. Reba Jerry Assinger. Jerry, of course, owns War Horse Place. The Ontario Colleen Stakes, grade three winner was Lee Court, braid by Eugene Melling. The Western Handicap Stakes in Canada, Commander won that. He's by Broken Vow. He's a grade stakes winner earlier, and he was bred by Paragon Farms in Kentucky. The Canadian Derby grade three winner, Broadway Empire, was bred by Mercedes Stables. He's a son of Empire Maker. The City of Edmonton Distaff Handicap Saturday Night Ride won that, bred by Canyon Lake Thoroughbreds. Don't know those people, but congratulations. The Rosanna Stakes at Delaware Colonial Flag won that, bred by Catherine J. Park. The Horse Turf Flag Stakes in Canterbury went to Second Street City, get it straight, Ursel, bred by Stonehaven Steadings. The Hatoof at Arlington Park was won by I.O. Ireland. He is by Giants Causeway, or she is, I should say, a filly. Well, I give him credit for it, but it's an Illinois bred. I just assume that, well. Anyways, the stud horse stands in Kentucky. The grade one Secretariat Admiral Kitten won that. That's another one of Ken and Cyril Ramsey's, one of the three grade one stakes winners. $500,000 pot there. The, let's see, the other half of the two stakes went to I'm Already Sexy, bred by Equus Farm. The Straight Line Stakes, For Dubai won that, bred by James Taffel. The John Bullitt Stakes, Canterbury, was bred by Emery Hamilton. The Gold Rush Futurity, $100,000 pot, was bred by Mr. and Mrs. John Toffin, the winner of that one. Sayad won the Dance of Life Stakes, $100,000 race up at Saratoga, bred by Vision Sales, 2009, owned by Shadwell Farm. So congratulations to my friends out at Shadwell Farm. So a pretty good week at the races for Kentucky Breds, as usual. Yeah, let's see where we are here, my friend. I got time to do a little history. I think maybe I'll get these commercials out of the way and then do a little history. And we're going to talk about August 15th, winner up at Saratoga, Farhan, a four-year-old colt by Jazzle, bred and owned by Shadwell Farm, making his first start in this country. He's trained by Kieran McLaughlin, and he won a $90,000 allowance race in a game come from behind finish. Now, Farhan had posted back-to-back wins and had been beaten just a length in listed stakes over in Great Britain. 2 days later at Arlington Park, Najjar, also by Jazzle, ran third, got beat a length in the $400,000 American St. Ledger Stakes. And Ossus, a daughter of Invisor, she's a graded stakes winner, ran third in the grade one $750,000 Beverly D. Najjar is also placed in the grade three Louisville Handicap in the Arlington Classic for owner breeder Shadwell Farm. Ossus was bred and owned by Shadwell, went into the grade one Beverly D off of a win in the grade three Modesty at Arlington after placing in two stakes down at the fairgrounds. Grade one stakes winner and grade one sire Jazzle and Hall of Famer Invisor, sire of a graded stakes winner in his first crop, both stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to staff manager Kent Barnes. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Well, my friend, Dr. Bill Bernard, Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. Good place to know. Great operation over there. They do it a little differently. It's elective surgery only, outpatient medicine. You call them up, you make an appointment. You tell them what you want done or what needs to be done, and they give you the price of what it's going to cost you right up front. When you get the bill, no surprises. No add-ons, no nothing, just what they told you. So that's a real plus. Dr. Bernard, of course, a top internist. He was spent some 20 years with Rudin Riddle. He specializes, of course, as an internist in infectious disease, respiratory problems, things like that, neurology. Top veterinarian. Dr. Wesley Sutter is his partner over there. He's an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist. He was a professor of equine orthopedic surgery up at Ohio State for many years and practiced down in Ocala before he came up to Rudin Riddle up here, and then he moved over to with Dr. Bernard. It's a state-of-the-art facility. They've got the only standing MRI machine in Lexington for horses. They've got the brand new nuclear scintigraphy machine. You can't do for any better. Their website is LexingtonEquine.com, LexingtonEquine.com. Go over there and pick up the phone number and give them a call. LexingtonEquine.com for the Lexington Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine. Let me tell you where they are. They're on Georgetown Road, right at the intersection of Ironworks and Georgetown Road. Wonderful facility. Can't go wrong. Well, Colonel John's the number one freshman sired stud in Kentucky. He's the sire of the undefeated Philly Concave, winner of the Grade II Sorrento Stakes at Del Mar after breaking her maiden first time out by 3.5 lengths in a maiden special at Hollywood Park. He's the sire of Sweet Southern Dame, second in the Ontario Debutant Stakes after winning a maiden special at Presque Isle. He's the sire of Here's Johnny, winner of a maiden special at Churchill Downs, first time out. He's the sire of Cash Conversion, winner of a maiden special at Presque Isle. He's the sire of Mosto Bella, winner of a maiden special in her debut on August 4 at Del Mar. Colonel John and was an excellent two-year-old, winner of the $100,000 Real Quiet Stakes and second in the Grade 1 Cash Call for Tootie. But he really got rolling at 3 and 4, winning the Grade 1 Travers, the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, the Grade 3 Sham. Running a mile in 1:32.3 to take the Wicker Stakes for earnings of over $1,779,000. Watch for the Colonel John yearlings and youngsters by his great sire Tisnow at the upcoming sales. For more information, contact Darren Fox, Leanna Packard, or Chance Tim at 859-873-1717 and see the website at WindstarFarm.com. Bride has returned.
Yeah, we just had the...
Well, you want to sit down and do your announcements real quick?
Well...
We'll put you to work.
Okay, let me tell you what.
All right. She's had a guided tour today.
Yep, we've seen...
You don't have to be quiet in here. Nobody else does.
I need a piece of paper.
Well, you need
Why don't you give them directions to Windy Corner and then how to go right back and get on the interstate? Go to Michael's.
I'll do that. Doctor, I'm much better giving directions than you are.
Oh, that's not true.
She'll get you lost on this track.
That's not. Isn't he cute?
She got us here.
Yeah, come on. I got them there.
Who's driving? Okay, come on, that works.
Okay, Red State Barbecue, weekend special, beer, cheese, and brisket sandwich. Two sides is $9. And this is important. Muir Station? Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. See, and he's better at giving direct. Did you hear that? Yeah. Okay. On Sundays, 20% of every ticket goes to old friends. Did you know that, Russ?
Good.
That's good. Good thing for old friends. Okay. Claiborne Farm is having the Secretariat Festival this year. It's so much fun. It's the 40th anniversary of Secretariat's Triple Crown victory. It will be September 21st in Paris out at the fairgrounds. It's going to start with a 5K Secretariat big red run walk. Oh, you know where that's going to be? That's going to be at Adena Springs. That is one fancy farm, and they're going to let them run through Adena Springs. It's a run walk. It's worth just going out there to walk it. And they're going to have guided tours of Claiborne Farm throughout the day. And all this fun stuff goes on down at the park. September 21st. Yes. A Saturday. It opens when it opens. Just show up. Absolutely. Chris McCarron's going to be there. Ronnie Turcott. Now, remember they talked about the jockey that we're at, yeah, and he's in a wheelchair now, and he's coming. So it's a lot of fancy folk. Eddie Maple, Jacinto Vasquez, Jorge Velasquez, and Mike Manganello, Pat Day, Lafitte Pinkai, Jean Kruger, the whole crowd's going to be there. Also, they're going to have a sales pavilion the night before Penny and Red premiere to benefit Secretariat Foundation, which is out at out to Horse Park. And what that is a kind of rerun facility where they retrain racehorses for new jobs. Now, what's today's date, Russ? 24th, August 24th at the Horse Park. Saturday, the Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association show. Day 2, day 3 is tomorrow. Next weekend, starting Thursday, the Bluegrass Classic Horse Show. That's a good one. All kind of breeds. It's a big show, so you really get to see a lot. Then, Kentucky Classic Horse Trials start Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the Bluegrass Classic Dog Show continues. All right. Next meeting of the Farm Managers Club is September 4th. It's at the Red Mile. They have good food. They're going to have bloodstock agent panel. They're all going to dress like devils or bankers or something. Pete Bradley, Doug Cawthorn, and Mike Ryan will be there. RSVP by 5 o'clock September the 1st. It'll be a lot of fun. Farm Managers is always a lot of fun. They got their Sporting Clay Classic coming up, but all the entries are already in. However, the trail ride's coming up. I've got here, and it's my stack of stuff. Masterson Station Park, which, as you know, is an equestrian facility out here in Fayette County, which is just wonderful. You can go pull up and ride for free anytime you want. However, it takes some upkeep. So we have a annual work day at Masterson. It's going to be Sunday, September 22nd from 2 to 5. Bring a smile and work gloves. And if you got a weed eater or a hedge trimmer, bring that. Meet by the parking lot at the Hunter Ring at 2 o'clock. Kentucky Hunter and Jumper Show is at Lakeside Arena, August 31st, September 1st, and 2nd. You know where Lakeside Arena is? It's down in right where you get off the interstate for Frankfort. Did you tell them how to go out to Michael's?
Yes.
Oh. You got my phone. Hey, did you show them that picture of that rider where the rain broke?
No, they said she could. Oh, yeah.
Show them that picture.
This is one of the
graduates. Next week, we are on regular time. Ta-da. The week after that, next 2 weeks after that, we're on from 9 to 11 because football.
Football.
I'm sorry, I didn't say it correctly. I'm being corrected over here by Rissy. Trail Summit registration is now open. Not sure what that means, but you go to www.kytrailsummit.com. They're going to have a meeting on November 15th and 16th at Natural Bridge State Park. They are trying to get trails from one end of the state to the other so you can actually ride from one end of the state to the other. Okay, Bluegrass in the Barn. This is September 21st. This is Picking and Grinning down at, give me a break, Shakertown. And they're going to, author down there, Author Hancock number 4 and 5. And they are having this hootenanny to raise money to expand the facilities down by the horse barn where you park when you come in. So, really nice thing. Let's see, that's not any good. Bluegrass Classic Horse Show, I already said that. Oh, the National.
No.
Well, we might sashay over at noon if you want. Okay. All right. How much time have we got at this business?
You're saving two places for
it. Okay. Okay. Rusty's tired. He's going home. The Alltech National Horse Show will return to the Alltech Arena at Kentucky Horse Park October 29th through November 3rd. This is it. This is the big one. This is the biggest deal in the world. Now, take my word on that. Thoroughbred Farm Manager's Annual Trail Ride, Sunday, September 29th, Shaker Village, $15 a person. Sign in 11 at Shaker Stables, rides at 12. And if you just want to go down and walk around, it's fine. They're going to feed us when we're done. The ride is 2 hours long, and it's so well marked. That's the thing about Shaker Town. You go down there and ride, and you blow a shoe, or you're just tired and you want to go back, they'll say, see that sign over there? Follow that, and you can go back. Let's see. The way it is now at the Kentucky Horse Park, you buy a ticket for Saturday, you get a ticket for Sunday. August 24th is World Championship Horse Show Saddlebreds Championship Night, Freedom Hall, Kentucky State Fairgrounds in Louisville. Am I finished?
No.
I don't know. Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
How much time we got?
Oh, that's all right. I can fill it out. You know?
Okay, watch equestrians on the road to the Alltech National Horse Show, which I just mentioned. You can see they've set up a television thing. No, it's on the internet. What in the heck is that, guys? AlltechEquineTV.com. How about that? And you can watch it. That's it. Oh, no, it's AlltechEquineTV.com. That's what I said, wasn't it?
That's what you said.
So all these big hotshot shows that we can't get to, you can go and watch them there. Oh, here's one. First Lady Jane Brashears hosting the 3rd Annual Horses and Hope Trail Ride at the Kentucky Horse Park Saturday, September 14th. Its registration's open, and you got to get your registration in because space is limited. Go to www.horsesandhope.org/events. That's a nice one. That's another one where you very rarely get to ride around the horse park unless you're out there in a show or something. So this is a good deal. It's a lot of fun. See a lot of people. Western English, see all kind of saddles, all kind of riders. They even take clunk-alongs like me. The Sporting Clay Equine Clinic Challenge is Monday, and that's at the Sportsman's League, and that's all full. They go up to Owen County somewhere to shoot. I think that's all I got.
All righty. Well, sitting at the bar, 3-year-old filly from the First Crop by Intermission posted her 6th career stakes win last Saturday by taking Louisiana Cup filly and mare sprint at Louisiana Downs. She's also placed in graded stakes and earned over $418,000. She's one of 5 stakes winners from the First Crop by Intermission list, which includes Golden Sense, a grade 1 stakes winner of $1,340,000, Vijack, a multiple graded stakes winner of $552,200, Holiday Mischief, a recent winner of the $100,000 Super Derby, Prelude Stakes, he's got dead aim on a rich Super Derby, and keep an eye on Can the Man, a 2-year-old Copa in the Mischief that won his first start on August 17th at Del Mar. Can the Man was designated a rising star by Thoroughbred Daily News, just like his predecessor, a grade 1 winner, Golden Sense. A leading second crop sire by Harlan's Holiday, a top 10 sire again this year. In the Mischief was a share of the upside spendthrift offering, and the same share of the upside program is now available to the beautifully bred stakes winner, Awesome Patriot, by Awesome again, out of a full sister to Hall of Famer Tiz Now. Awesome Patriot is a full brother to Preakness Stakes winner Oxbow. It's a fantastic pedigree. For more information, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, and Mark Toothacker at 294-0030. See the website, spendthriftfarm.com. All righty. Well, they are running the Travers today, as everyone knows, and it was first run way back in 1864. I remember it well. Anyway, well, a horse named Kentucky won it, appropriately enough. He was by Lexington, which is also appropriate. Bred by John M. Clay, which sounds like Bourbon County to me. And Mr. Clay brought him to the Paterson, New Jersey meeting as a 2-year-old in 1863. Won the sweepstakes up there. And then he sold him to John Purdy for $6,000. And he later passed on to the stable Mr. John Hunter, who he liked his breeding. He was never meeting after the Jersey Derby of 1864. Won 21 races, including the Travers, and he was a great racehorse. There have been some top winners of the course of the Travers down through the years. Horses like, gee whiz. See if I can remember any of them. Glenn Elge won it that in 1869. Harry Bassett in 1871. Duke of Magenta, another great racehorse. Hindu won it in 1881. Down through the year, Broomstick won it. Romer. Omer Khayyam, his first imported horse ever to win the Kentucky Derby. A horse named Man of War won it with Andy Schuttinger aboard him. Only time he ever rode him. He carried 129 pounds in that particular race, was given 6 pounds to Upset, and 14 pounds to John P. Greer, ran third, set a new American record going a mile and a quarter. Jim Dandy upset Gallant Fox, and which one in 1930, 20 grand and 31. Whirl Away, Native Dancer, Gallant Man, Sword Dancer, Buck Passer, great horses have won it. 20 grand won it in 1931, and of course 20 grand was a superb racehorse, won the Kentucky Derby. Got beat by Mate in the Preakness. Now that year they ran the Preakness ahead of the Kentucky Derby, and he was completely sterile when they put him in a stud. And of course he raced the last two starts were in England, and they brought him back after they found out he was sterile. But he ended up over here at Green Tree and the Gas House Gang. I think I might have time to read this on the Gas House Gang, so I'll do that real quick. Talking about Jolly Rogers mentioning he was by St. Germans, who was a shy breeder also, and they passed that on, as a matter of fact. Assault was from that sire line. Well, the records say Jolly Roger earned $143,240, which is woefully incomplete. He was a great steeplechaser in an era of great steeplechasers. Won the Grand National at Belmont under 165 pounds in 1927. Won it again the next year under 167. He ran for Mrs. Payne Whitney, which was a good thing for a horse. And after he left the races in 1930, he went back to the paddocks of Green Tree Farm to grow old gracefully with the world's record for earnings by a chaser. Mrs. Whitney didn't know it, but Jolly Roger's earnings days weren't over. A good many tourists from Iowa and Maine and Kansas get to Green Tree every year, and of course they want to see famous horses. There were some children on the farm owned by some of the resident employees. They found this situation interesting. Want to see St. Germans, they'd say, or questionnaire? If they found the visitors knew little enough, they'd offer Man of War, and for that matter, Eclipse. Whatever the choice, one of the youngsters would run out and catch old Jolly Roger, who was a very flashy horse, with a blazed face and four white stockings, could be led by a child with a silk string. The act was always good for a quarter or half dollar, and Jolly Roger was probably shown as much as any horse in Kentucky, though never under his own name. Presently, to share his paddocks came Cherry Pie, which was one of Mrs. Whitney's best-loved horses, and then 20 grand, with his record for the Derby. And there was Easter Hero, finally, to make a four. The farm, lamentably addicted to baseball broadcasts in the season, called them the Gas House Gang. You won't recall Easter Hero because he raced over the fences in England. He was good enough, but his fame rests largely on the way he played Mary Hell with the field at the Intrigue Grand National in 1928. This was the notorious renewal in which 42 horses started and only the 101 shot, Tipperary Tim, finished undamaged, though the American entry, Billy Barton, was remounted after pecking the last jump and finished second. No others finished at all, largely because of Easter Hero. He hit the canal turn, but instead of going over, landed a straddle. Billy Barton, too close to turn out, cleared the fence, ditch, and Easter Hero in one prodigious leap. But several others fell, and more refused. Easter Hero finally fell back off the fence into the ditch on the near side, where he ran up and down for a while, and nothing followed behind would attempt to jump at all. This will cut the field to a half a dozen or so, and Aintree's murderous fences took care of most of the few which had gotten over. 20 Grand had won the Derby in 1931 in track record time, sweeping down the stretch with a prodigious rush. He was later tried in a stud, but proved incurably sterile. There was an attempt to train him again. He ran in the first Santa Anita handicap in 1935, but this didn't work out very well either. So he was brought back to the farm and turned out with the other pensioners. It would be nice to think that these four old warriors remember their days of glory and argued during the hot summer afternoons about whether steeplechasing was honest, though the chances are they didn't. But at least they had the big paddocks and the tall grass and their own company and long years of idleness. As the years passed, their reputations were largely forgotten. There had always been plenty of horses better than Cherry Pie. Whirlaway broke 20 Grand's Derby record with an even more spectacular rush. Many another horse came down at Aintree to the detriment of the field behind him. But year after year, Jolly Roger held to his record. No other steeplechaser had ever earned as much as he. But faster even than racehorses runs the white horse. Cherry Pie was the first to go. He died in 1947 at the age of 27. In February 1948, Easter Hero rose to his last fence. And then a month later, 20 Grand came to the end of his days at the age of 20. This left Jolly Roger, an aging 26, as a lonely survivor. In all the years since he had left the fences, his record had remained virtually the only money record except Top Flights, which had withstood the big purses of the 40s. Then, on July 2, Elkridge, 10-year-old veteran of 1,000 fences, shook off the field of the Indian River steeplechase at Delaware Park, and with a purse of $8,800, set a new steeplechasing mark for earnings. On July 3, the Gas House Gang was disbanded. Jolly Roger died at Greentree. Joe Palmer. All right, let me see winners here from the Thoroughbred Center since last week. 33 so far this month. Winners were trained right here. And since last week's show, Jimmy Cargan saddled one at Ellis Park. So did Jerry Assinger. Jerry's man of war farmers, incidentally. Matt Frazier saddled another quarter horse up at Indiana Downs. I believe it. I didn't write down quarter horse. I usually do, but the horse named Lucky Me, I think it is a quarter horse. Of course, he saddled the winner of the $75,000 Hoosier Park Classic in horse name, a quarter horse named Chill Six Pack.
Good.
Matt named that himself, I'm sure.
It's about
that time. Anyway, Matt saddled another one up at Indiana Downs. Jesse Caudle saddled Tater Taunter to win a Mountaineer. Brian Michael saddled the winner at Mountaineer, La Malaguena. Eduardo Caramori saddled one up at Beautiful Park, Romance Argentina. I'm sure that one of the kids took it up there, one of his able help. He's raising his help over there, his family, putting them to work. So does a really good job, too, those boys do. Let's see, at Indiana Downs, Amalio Garcia saddled Three Sheets. That's a half-brother to the Wind. never mind. Then at Beulah Park, his son, Paul Garcia, saddled ZZ Tap up at the River Downs meeting at Beulah Park. Scooter Hughes had a winner on the 21st up at Indiana Downs. Then yesterday we had three winners at three different tracks. Otto Draper saddled Brand New Star, 2-year-old, to win down at Ellis Park. You know, he told me that thing was going to win up here one day. That's the horse he was talking about. Anyway, one. Wayne Mogie saddled one at Indiana Downs.
Good.
Last night. And Tim Shue saddled one at Mountaineer.
Great.
Tim trains for the Preston Stables, you know, Art Preston and that bunch of that stuff. Okay, there's playing our music over there.
Okay, can I quick say thanks to Don Combs and Chris McCarron and Matt
Howard,
who we had a tour come over here, a charity thing, and took them all around, and we're so nice to them.
Okay, they're nice people, all three of them, even Matt Howard. All right, thank you, Ressie. Thank you, Mary Jane. down at the studio, and we'll talk to you next week. Oh, incidentally, on the 7th and the 14th, not next week, but the 7th and the 14th, we're going to be early from 9 till 11. That's it for the show today.